And welcome, friends, to this, the Friday morning edition of the Grace Hour. We're in our studios, broadcasting live, and our studios are found in the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach right here in Baltimore, Maryland. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. And no, I'm not Pastor Rinaldo, but I'm sitting in for him today. Pastor Schiavelli has joined us in the studio on this Friday, and my name is Pastor John Love. We'll be your hosts for the next 45 minutes or so as we wrap up our theme this week here in the Grace Hour on politics and the Christian. What do you think about that, Pastor Schiavelli? Politics and the Christian.
I'm not sure where the first word is derived from, politics. Do you have any idea? Can you find the root of that word?
Oh, boy.
Where that comes from?
Interesting subject.
It is an interesting subject, and we understand politics maybe based upon what happens here in the United States, but it's really interesting what even happens with so-called politics around the world in different places, you know, where, guess what? This person was elected unanimously, and you can't even believe what actually took place.
Sure.
So politics, you know, and the government, and then Jesus Christ, who doesn't need our vote because he's the elect one. Mm-hmm. He's been elected before the foundation of the world, so he necessarily doesn't need my vote to continue to reign on the throne of God. And by the way, he can't be deposed. He can't be removed. It's just the way it is. So we're talking about submitting and rendering to Caesar the things that are Caesar's.
That's our theme
today. And to
God,
the things that are God. And I'd like to come up with a number of things that we can submit to or give to Caesar that are legitimate things in the scriptures that are found there. And we can start the program off that way. I think number one, the first thing we can do is we can pray for the government. We pray for the government. You know, we pray for kings and those in authority, 1 Timothy chapter 2, praying for the government. So many people are so quick to criticize the government that never prayed for the government. So I can maybe say I think something should be done this way, but these attacks, I can remember, I don't know if you remember during the 60s, which is like how many years ago? Is that 60 years ago? I mean, the revolutions that took place, the demonstrations, the things that people did against the government, you know? I don't know what they used to call those people at that time. There was a certain name for them.
Radicals.
Radicals. Okay. Hippie radicals.
Yes, hippies.
Hippie radicals, you know?
Just for the record, I was just a kid.
Yeah, you were? I wasn't.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Let's talk about that. So we pray for the government. I think it's important for us to pray for our government. And you can say, you mean pray for a repressive government? Yes. Pray that their eyes would be open. Pray that people would get saved. Pray that a government could be changed and they would come through with thoughts that maybe come from God, or at least some of the initiations and principles that come from God. So number one, we should pray for our government. We should pray for the government of the United States. We pray for the governments of Africa. And we see all kinds of different situations that happen in African governments, but we're commanded to pray. It's much easier, to be honest with you, to criticize and say something negative rather than to pray for the government. Number two, I think number two, the second aspect of giving to Caesar the things that are Caesar, is we are good citizens. We are good citizens. In other words, we're not out there scamming everybody. We're a good citizen. You know, what does that, what does it mean to be a good citizen? In other words, my behavior, my name and my behavior in the community is not a radical, a person that is like known to be a lawbreaker, but we are good citizens. Number three, pay your taxes. Ooh, some people have a hard time with that one, don't they? Like, because the government does this, I'm not going to pay my taxes, you know? But Jesus paid the temple tax, didn't he? So which government was he paying it to? Caesar's? Wow, interesting. Pay your taxes. Number four, obey the laws, unless those laws are contrary to God's mindset. But obey the laws. I don't need to be going 80 miles an hour in a 55 mile an hour zone. And then when I get pulled over, say, well, you know, and expect a reprieve. You know what? You're going to get a ticket. And rightfully so, unless you say to the, I made a mistake. It was sin. I was going too fast. Would you give me mercy? Okay, I can understand that. But obey the laws. We obey the laws. Do we stop at stop signs, or do we roll through them? I don't know. I'm
depends whether or not you're from Massachusetts.
Yeah, I've got some people here that, like, you know, they don't even stop. No, I'm just joking. I didn't tell you who was here, so you don't know. But obeying the laws, whatever that may mean, whatever that may mean. Next, in regards to giving to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, you have a testimony of the person of Christ. You have a testimony that people see you as a Christian. You represent Jesus Christ. Number six, I think it is. I don't even know. Mm-hmm. Don't slander the government. Don't be a criticizer. Don't be a person that's in rebellion. Don't be controversial. Don't criticize the government. Pray for the government. Number seven, a good citizen should vote. Did you hear that? My wife made that very clear to me. I was one of those not voting persons. And she said, well, let me ask you a question. What do you think God would do? And I said, he'd vote. So I vote. I started to vote. Next, number eight, to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, I think evangelism is also part of that. In other words, I owe it to Caesar's government or the world's government to win the lost and even speak to politicians, speak to people in charge. That's happened to me a number of times where I've been put in front of an entire political arena and God said to me, don't talk about what you think you're supposed to talk about. Talk about Christ and being born again. Number eight, evangelize. Evangelize Caesar's country. Evangelize in Rome, in which is what they did. Number nine, work. Get a job, okay? Stop using the system to be lazy and collecting all kinds of money. I know there are real cases where people need help. I understand that. We know that, okay? Whatnot. But some people are just looking to suck the blood out of the government by getting their money when they could be able workers, well able workers, you know, and into it. But no, they got to get into the scam system, even I hate to mention the word, but welfare system. Okay. Number 10, participate where it's possible for you to help. You participate and you're involved with the government. Where you can help, what does that mean? That means, you know what? There's trash in the road that's in front of your house. Pick it up. We got this one lady up in Parkville. She goes up and down all the streets up there picking up trash in a plastic bag. You know, I marvel at her. Every morning she's out there and she'll like walk like for like miles and just she's always picking up anything she can with her gloves on. She got gloves on, you know, making sure what she picks up doesn't contaminate her. So there's some things we can do as far as rendering unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Pray, be a good citizen, pay your taxes, obey the laws, be a testimony of Christ. Don't criticize, slander, and be controversial and rebellious. Number seven, vote, evangelize, work and participate wherever it is possible. Rendering unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Now, of course, if the government comes out or Caesar's government comes out and says it's unlawful to be a Christian, no, I'm a Christian. And that's what's going to take place. And even they had to live in the catacombs under. There were two places that Christians were known for in the time of the Roman Empire. Two C's, catacombs and Colosseum. They lived in the catacombs and they died in the Colosseum. You know what? But they refused to buckle under and put those things away and say no to those things, you know? There's a woman, I think if you've read the story, Pastor Love, we've heard the story about Perpetua. And she was arrested for her faith, and they put her old father and her husband and her children in front of her. And they said, if you will deny Christ, we will let you live. If you do not deny Christ, you're going to die and never see your father, your husband, or your children again. She says, how can I deny the one who did not deny me? Actually, what they ended up doing is letting her go. Mm. Pretty sure that's what happened. They were so impressed by her courage and her desire that they just said, like, let's leave. This thing could get even worse than we ever think if we end up. I could be wrong. Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else. But so that's our subject today. Rendering unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God. Some of the things that are God, you know, the Bible, loving the Bible, reading the Bible, prayer, bringing the gospel to a lost and dying world. Okay, this is so important. Go to church. Go to church. So there's the four major foundations, right? The Word of God, prayer, the gospel and church. I think those are the four key foundations you'll see in Acts all the way through. So we render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things to God. We don't pray to Caesar, we pray to Jesus Christ. We don't read Caesar's books and his all of his statements and his knowledge. We read the Bible, okay? We don't give out the news of the world system, we give out the gospel. And we don't go to organizations that are contrary to the church, we go to church. So render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but get the second part, to God, the things that are God's. So you've got an opportunity to write us, call us, do anything you want today.
I wish they could call us.
They can't call us,
no,
right?
They can't call us.
Remember they used to call us?
They used to call us.
I wonder what happened. It's okay.
Well, we're more along the lines of a podcast now than we are a broadcast.
A podcast and, versus yes, a broadcast. Those yes. are terms I know broadcast. Podcast, it's a little bit strange to me.
Well, like but they can still join us.
Like peas in a pod?
Close. Oh, okay. They can still join us. They can share their comments on the chat. So if you would like to weigh in, share your thoughts about this very important theme and subject, don't hesitate to do so and ask a question that way as well. You know, you told that story about the woman, you know, who was faced with the possibility of either denying Christ and losing her life. I heard a similar story, a true story about a woman, and she was on a great vessel crossing from Europe to the United States. And they had run into some pretty serious difficulty on this ship. And there were people on the boat, along with the captain, thought that they were going to lose the vessel.
Yeah.
And he was very busy running back and forth. But this woman did something very unusual. She gathered together all of the children on this vessel, or at least a good number of them, and she began to quietly teach them. And during the process of trying to save this vessel, the captain was running back and forth and checking on various things that could have happened or might have happened. And he said he kept watching this woman calmly, carefully take care of these children. There was no panic in the lives of the children, no panic. And that's not to say there wasn't panic on the boat. Everybody was seemingly panicking, including the captain himself. But they were able to save the vessel, and everyone's lives were saved. But later, he caught up with this woman, and he said, I have to ask you a question. He said, I noticed that when we were all in panic mode, thinking that we were going to lose this vessel, you seemed quite calm. You were taking care of those children. You had them kind of eating out of your hand. And he said, how did you do that? And she said, well, to be honest with you, she says, I have two daughters, Captain. She says, one is in New York, where we're heading. The other one is in heaven. And she said, I knew that whatever happened, I would see one of my daughters. And I was fine
That's
with
amazing.
That. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it just shows you the confidence in the life of someone who knows Christ, whether we stay here on this earth or we leave and we depart into our forever home.
It's interesting. And we've been in places. We have Pastor Eugene in the studio audience here, too. We've been in places where, and I have been in places where it is contrary to the government to evangelize or talk to people about Christ. Well, maybe you're right, maybe I'm wrong, but it never bothered me, never stopped me. You know what? In other words, like I wasn't doing something on purpose to cause a problem. I just sensed we should minister Christ. What happened? Well, I remember I went to jail in the country of Qatar for doing that. I went to jail in the country of Jordan for doing that. I went to jail in the country of Yugoslavia for doing that. I went to jail in the country of Bulgaria. Should I be naming these countries? I don't know. I don't really care. What does it matter? But I'm saying at that time, things have changed. But this is what awaited you. You're going to witness the gospel. If you're going to have a church or you're going to proclaim the gospel, it's against the law and you have to. And I understood that. So I'm not saying that they did anything wrong per se, but I understood that's the law. And if I break the law, that's what's going to happen. It's as simple as that. Mm-hmm. As simple as that. So I wasn't negative about the government. As a matter of fact, when I remember those some of those sentences, one time I was sentenced with my wife. We're both in the same cell. Interesting. Isn't that interesting? Thank God they put us in the same cell. But I just said, like, you know, we have to pray for these people. And we witnessed to them, people of the gospel, and talked about the love of God. And that is the way we were released every time. just telling people about the message of Christ, you know, not some religious message, not some denominational bent, but just telling them how much God loved them no matter what they were doing. You know, really interesting. Happened to us one time in America. I was evangelizing in front of a liquor store in Massachusetts, myself and I think it was Orion. I can't think of which one it was. It was either Kathy or her sister. And they came, and the policeman said to me, you can't do this here. And I said to the policeman, you do what you do, and I do what I do. And he handcuffed me, you know. But it was really interesting because when I went to court, I knew the judge. The judge had given me people that were criminals into my custody to take care of them. I had two homes. And in those homes, I took people from the court system that were given a possibility of go to jail or go to this house. And so the judge knew me, and he looked at the people in charge, the officers, and he said, like, do you understand what you did? This man helps our court system to deal with addicts, and you're arresting him for talking to addicts? So he could talk to them so maybe they wouldn't come to our court system, and you're arresting him. Leave. He just told the officers to leave, you know. Now, I wasn't going against Caesar there, but I was just saying, you know what? And really interesting. So render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and unto God the things that are God. And so happened to be that the people that called the police on me happened to be operating a establishment that the whole plaza was owned by somebody in my family, which was even more interesting. Really interesting, you know. So, you know what? We can trust God.
Yeah.
We can trust God. We render unto, you know, they'll tell you, don't do this on an airplane. Really? I don't know if you ever remember a person named Renzo Ventrice. He got up on an airplane one time and I was with him. He just started, like, preaching. He goes, what are they going to do, throw me off the plane? You know? I mean, he just started preaching on the airplane, you know. And they tried to calm him down. They finally did, you know. But I was thinking to myself, I don't think I would do that. I don't know if I would do that. Should I do that? Is it wrong that I won't do that? Whatever. But it was very interesting what took place there. Is that a right thing to do? I'm not saying yes or no to that, you know, but because there was no law that said you couldn't do that, you know, they couldn't talk. You know?
Yeah. No signs when you get on the aircraft. Whatever you do, don't preach the gospel.
Don't preach the gospel. Didn't say that at all. No signs preventing it. And even if there was, I don't think it would have stopped him. Anyway, you know him. You know, he was like a very interesting person. So, okay, we have somebody that's tuning in. Aretta?
Yeah, Aretta says, thanks. Good morning to our pastors. And she's just agreeing with everything that you said. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. This is glorious, she says.
I go out with her grandson. We go on evangelism every Saturday. So if something happens to us, Aretta, like, bail us out, all right?
There you go, Aretta. Hey, let's look at the context of this question that the Pharisees and the Herodians. Mm-hmm. And it should be noted, Pastor Schiavelli, that these were not the friends of Jesus.
No.
These were his enemies. And it says in verse 15 of Matthew 22, it says, then the Pharisees went and plotted how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth, nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness.
Wow.
Now, that's interesting because what was behind their questioning of Jesus to begin with?
Wickedness.
Wickedness. I mean, they already said, essentially, you don't care about anybody. You only care about the truth. And if you don't care about anybody, that means you don't care about Caesar too, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus perceived that wickedness and said, why do you test me, you hypocrites? And then he said something that was not a phrase coined in a contemporary movie, but he said, show me the money.
Show me the money.
Now let's say that. Show me the money.
Show me the money.
And from our guests.
Show me the money.
Show me the money. Jesus said this long before Tom Cruise said it in a movie. Show me the money.
That's okay.
It's okay. Well, you're wise concerning that, which is foolish. So we could give you a pass on that. But so they brought him a coin. They brought him a denarius. And he said unto them, whose image and inscription is upon it? They said unto him, Caesar's. And that's when he said, Well, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things which are God's. And now listen, this is fascinating.
This is good, yeah.
And when they heard these words, they marveled, left him, went their way. Now, as you continue reading in the 22nd chapter of Matthew, again, the Pharisees approach Jesus in verse 41. And they were gathered together, and Jesus asked them. Now Jesus initiates to them.
Yeah.
And he said, what do you think about Christ, the Messiah? Whose son was he supposed to be? They said unto him, the son of David. And he said to them, well, how then does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son? And I love the next verse. And nobody dared to answer him a word. And from that day on, they didn't even ask him a question.
No more questions.
I mean, he did it when they brought the subject of what, you know, should I pay taxes to Caesar? He did it again when he initiated.
Yeah.
The point is, I love the fact that the way Jesus handled his enemies.
He did
to those
very,
that opposed
very
him.
Wisely.
Yeah. I mean, he put wisdom. An end to all of their concerns, all of their questions, and just about everything they brought to his attention.
Right. And we have a comment. I think that's Jim Henry, who was the first one to go with me to Africa in 1986. That's like 39 years ago, 38 years ago. Jim Henry. Wow. I remember. He's a great man of God. And he's listening. I guess he must be listening. And because he has a comment up there, right? And he could call us up and say hello. That would be great. But he's been through a lot in life, even physically, and yet he's remained faithful to God. He's remained faithful to love Jesus Christ and the ministry and whatnot. So that's incredible. I haven't heard from him in such a long time.
Great to hear from you, Jim.
Jim Henry. Wow.
When we go back to this statement that Jesus made, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, wasn't he just drawing a sharp contrast between the distinctions mm-hmm. of the two kingdoms, the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God?
Absolutely. Two kingdoms. And that's important because some people, even Christians, do they understand that you're in the kingdom of God's dear son, Colossians 1:13. And do you realize that what you're operating in is the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of this world, you know? And people don't like to say, oh, what do you mean the kingdom of darkness? This is the world, you know? And there's a lot of good things about the world, but there's not a lot of God things about the world. There may be good things, but not God things about the world. And so this is the way he answers. And usually, didn't you find out as you read the scriptures that most of the enemies that came against Christ were religious people?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the person in Mark chapter 5 or this person with a problem, the prodigal son. You know, the problems always seem to be with religious people, Pharisees, Sadducees, these different people that he called Herodians, all these different people that came against him. They were religious people. And that's where you're going to find the opposition. Who was it? Who was it that had him arrested? You know, in other words, you find out. So religion is man's attempt to please God without God. That's how I classify it. Religion, man's attempt to please God without God. That doesn't mean that you're of a person, a particular denomination or something, that something's wrong with it. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying a religion is something that operates without God. True religion is defined in James chapter 1. There's true religion, and then there's the so-called religion of this day that's so contrary to God, so contrary to the Bible, so contrary to the person of Christ, you know? And we have to make a distinction between the two. Otherwise, it's very easy to get deceived by religion. And by the way, even those that could name the name of Christ, they could use the name of Jesus, but they're not born again. And they don't really believe the Bible, you know? I asked a particular person who represented the religion one time, you say this, the Bible says this, which one should I believe? He just looked at me, he said, you should believe me. I said, I should believe you over the Bible? Is that what you're telling me? I said, I'm really sorry about that, but that's not going to happen. And I never went back again. Mm. That was the end of that. It's very simple. Who should I believe, you know? And I want you to answer the question, you know? So it's very interesting that the religious system was so opposed. Mm. Because do you remember what Jesus said to the religious people in John chapter 8? Your father is the devil. Can you imagine saying that to a religious person? It didn't bother Jesus. He said it. Your father is the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he never abode in the truth, because there's no truth in him. Mm. I mean, he went right at religious people. Mm. Did he love them? Yes, because Nicodemus got saved, right? We see different Joseph of Arimathea. He wanted them to be saved, but they had to be approached in a particular way. You know, by the way, I think that's what happens when it comes to certain people. We make an approach in a particular way. And you may approach a person that has a drug problem differently than you approach a religious person who thinks they're perfect and they're walking with God and they're not. You know, the approach might be different. I don't know. Maybe not. But I'm saying that it's very interesting. So we've got another comment from Sarah Vannon. Is that what the name is?
It says, hello, pastors. We are watching from Southeast Asia.
Woo!
Thank you for displaying God's faithfulness in and through your lives. Jesus' wisdom and his discernment is marvelous in this story.
It is
marvelous because really, when you think about the essence of what he was doing, Jesus basically was saying, look, if Caesar demands money, give it to him.
Yeah.
But how about this? What does God demand?
Yeah.
And what God demands, we should give to him. What's God looking for? He's not necessarily looking for our money, is he? I mean, I don't think he saved me for my money. I think he saved me because he wanted my heart.
Yeah.
He wanted my devotion. He wanted my loyalty. He wanted me to be his disciple. And I think that contrast is made so clear by Jesus. I mean, it wasn't a problem for him at all.
Yeah.
The way he answered this, he says, look, if Caesar wants your money, give it to him.
Yeah.
If the government wants your taxes, give it to them, right? Now, I want to go back to something that you shared a moment ago, Pastor Schiavelli. You mentioned that there was a time where you didn't think voting was important.
Yeah.
But then you had a good conversation with your faithful wife.
Yep.
And that changed your mind. Now, tell us a little bit about that. Because there's some Christians who think, I don't think it's important to vote because I'd be casting my vote for a sinful person. But we mentioned yesterday in the broadcast, yeah, you would, because the last time we checked, Jesus wasn't on the ballot.
Right. Sinners.
Yeah.
We're all sinners.
Everybody.
Saved by grace. And I'm sure Peter would be known to be a leader in the church. Was he a sinner?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. James and John were leaders. Were they sinners?
Yes.
Yes, of course. And that's just another way of just obscuring truth and then going about to do whatever I wanted to do. And I put myself in that category at that time, you know, and I recognized that it was important that I exercise that authority, you know, that was so key. By the way, in those days, there was no voting. There was no voting for Caesar. Oh, I'm voting for Caesar this week, you know. No, I'm voting for this one. No. There was no voting at all. So I really believe it's important to do that, you know, to vote, and no matter what place you're in. But there are some places where there are no votes. They're just straight out dictatorships.
So it's a great blessing that we have the opportunity to cast a vote.
It's a blessing to be able to even cast a vote. It is.
And you mentioned also earlier in your comments that, you know, you don't want to be a critic of the government. And the way that you can save yourself from becoming critical or negative is by voting.
Yeah.
There's your right. There's your privilege. Under the Constitution, you get to cast a ballot.
Yeah.
So you should take advantage of that opportunity.
Well, I think, the government says it's okay to have abortion. I don't agree.
Right.
Okay. So when it goes contrary to God's law, I do not agree. How's that? You know, I don't agree with that. So am I making a statement that's contrary to what the government thinks? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
When the government comes out and said it's legal to smoke marijuana, I say marijuana is the most dangerous drug on the market, more than heroin, because heroin affects the body, marijuana the mind. And it's a very known fact. I studied this for years because I used to give seminars in government places and to the school systems. It really does a job on neurotransmitters and in the mind. It does a job on the mind. So I don't agree that it's all, you know, smoking marijuana is now legal. Is that what, is it? I mean, I don't even know.
In some states,
yes. It's ridiculous. That's the most ridiculous, satanic, evil thing I've ever seen. Mm. No. I say no to that. So put it out right now if you happen to be doing it. No, I'm only joking. But whatever, you know. I mean, no. No, at all. So we have a question from Daphne, but I don't see the whole question. It says, good morning from Texas. I agree with what you have said.
Oh, here we go.
What's her question?
It's what you just addressed. He says, she writes, some left the church after it was mentioned from the pulpit that those voting for people who kill unborn babies need to think first.
Sure.
Bible verses were given. I was at the service. No one told anyone. I'm not sure exactly what the question is, but I think it has to do with that you know, are we to pay taxes to a government that supports and pays for abortion?
What do you think?
No. But at the same time, you know, are we to withhold from Caesar what, you know, we should be rendering unto Caesar? So it does present a problem, but the problem can be really qualified or at least clarified when you look at the various parties that are representing the people of this nation. And what you have to do is you have to inform yourselves. You've got to be educated upon what that party's platform is. And you want to choose a platform that is pro-life.
Yeah.
As opposed to a party that says abortion right across the board, every state, we don't have a problem with that. That's where you get a chance to speak up and say, I want my tax dollars to represent my convictions and my set of beliefs.
And so, like, say you had both parties running for office or both people running for office that both agreed abortion was okay. What would you do? That you have a choice not to vote, right?
Yeah.
Or vote for yourself. No, I don't know. I mean, whatever. But really, that would be your choice. You have a conviction that both people that are running for an office both agree that it's okay to have an abortion and that it could be funded or something like that. Then you have a choice to make about whether you vote or not.
You better carefully look at what it is that they believe and what the platform represents. And again, we have just two major parties in our country today. So it's not, you know, it doesn't take much to educate yourself and to look at what the party platform is all about. So we really encourage believers to do that.
Yeah, yeah. That's that's your personal decision, who you vote for or whether you vote or not. That's still your personal decision, and you have priorities in your life. So Daphne, was that another question by Daphne, the second question?
I think it's a continuation.
Oh, who to vote for. Is it my place to mention to these persons that left to use what you all are saying to help them realize that going to church is more? And on Sundays and Wednesdays, of course. Hmm. Testifying to people. I mean, should the politicians be exempt? Aren't there groups of Christians that actually evangelize politicians? Mm-hmm. I remember somebody telling me about a group that is in Washington, D.C.
Oh, there's a number of them, yes.
There's a number of them that witness to politicians all the time. So they're hearing the gospel, they've heard the gospel, they're hearing it, and they will continue to hear it.
Yeah. And a number of groups that are in Washington, D.C. that hold Bible studies for legislative officials and U.S. representatives and U.S. senators. So thank God for their influence in Washington, D.C. Yeah. But I think the bottom line is pretty clear for us. If you're looking for a savior in the White House, you're not going to find him. Isn't it quite simple?
Yes.
I mean, the politicians that we elect are not going to be the answer, the cure-all, for all that ails us in our world and in our culture and society. We need a savior. And that's why Jesus made it so clear. You can give unto Caesar that which belongs to Caesar, but make sure that you give unto God what belongs to God.
What about when people spend more money supporting politics than they do their local church? Mm. You know, you're not rendering unto God the things that are God, you know?
Yeah.
You spend more than 10% supporting some political people. You can do it, your choice, but you don't give anything to the church at all. You don't give anything into the kingdom of God at all. There's no tithing that takes place, no offerings, you know. Or you get so wrapped up in it, you forget about the Bible, you forget about God. You're just so wrapped up in these things that are going on, politically and whatnot that you don't even, I want to go to church. I don't want to go to church. I'm not reading my Bible. I'm so consumed by what's happening in the world. And by the way, that can happen with believers. They get consumed by what's going on in the world instead of being consumed by God, His Word, His love, His life, being consumed by that.
I mean, after this presidential election, the day after that presidential election, we'll be in these studios and we'll be doing the podcast live, God willing, if we are still here, not raptured before then. But the bottom line is, no matter what the outcome of that election is, aren't we going to continue to worship God, serve God, evangelize the world, preach the gospel?
Well, they think about some of the countries that have totally anti-God leaders. They continue to walk with God. They have churches. I don't care where they have to meet or where it has to take place. But they refuse to bow down to those different people. That do they love them? Do they pray for them? Yes. But I am not going to bow down to that. I'm not going to render to them the things that are God's. That's got to be an absolute truth and a mindset that people have. Very important. So we continue, and we continue to pray and to believe God. And this is really the key. This is the key in our country, in any country, you know. And by the way, there are people that face opposition, government opposition, in many parts of the world that are really, they don't even give you any choices. There's nothing to choose at all. So you have to choose Christ and walk with God, you know. You have to choose Christ. So how about when somebody in a country says you cannot have more than one child? Are you supposed to obey that, or do you obey God? You know, there's a question. There's a controversial thing. We know places that say that. I've been in places that say that. You know, by the way, pray for us. We leave. No, it's not this week, is it? No, it's next week. Okay, we'll be going to Nepal and two parts of India for 3 weeks. And I don't know even though what kind of governments are in those places, but it's going to be an exciting time, and we have elected to vote for Jesus. We were voting for Jesus and bringing the gospel to these places that are, in many cases, very ungodly, very much contrary to Jesus Christ and the person of Christ and the work of the gospel.
So keep Pastor Schiavelli and those traveling with him in prayer as they go to that part of the world. Pastor Schaller will be leaving for the Philippines for another conference, Southeast Asia. So keep them in your prayers as well. You know, the bottom line is, on a daily basis, we are moving ever closer to a national election with a lot at stake, a lot of potential consequences. The fallout of who governs in our country is critical and important to all of us. So we hear this word brought up repeatedly in the media, change is coming. Now, you know, if you are dead set on finding this change in the political system, you're better off going to your local Coke machine and finding change there, right? Because it doesn't always happen. But if you want real change, walk with God.
Yeah.
Right? Get filled with the Spirit. Stay in the Scriptures and live by faith. That's how real change comes into our lives.
Yes, and God does the changing.
Yes, he
Second does. Corinthians 3, verse 17 and 18, from glory to glory. There used to be a song about that. Remember?
That's right.
Glory to glory, he's changing
me. I'm not
going to
sing it either.
Okay. He's changing me. So God does the changing. And by the way, one day, can you imagine what it will be like during the millennial reign when Christ is on the throne?
Yeah.
I mean, guess what? There will be no place for people that will be rebellious with their own laws and policies at all. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will be reigning for 1,000 years, you know. And things will be dealt with a little bit differently then, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are very thankful. We are very thankful that we have Jesus Christ. He changes us. And by the way, so you as a Christian or as a believer can allow God to change you. And where you could make a difference, you make a difference, you know.
Yes.
Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but to God the things that are God's. Okay.
Amen. And that's going to be the end of our broadcast today, friends. Thank you so much. We hope that you have benefited by listening to us today. And I think all of us are grateful to hear that in the coming election, you'll be voting.
Yes.
Amen.
And guess what? Tonight, from 6 to 8, we have a class from 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 8, on prayer.
Who's invited?
Everybody's invited. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks so much for joining us, friends. Have a great weekend, and please join us next week live right here on The Grace Hour.
Live on...